Welcome to Your Catholic Corner. I'm your show host, Julie South. Your Catholic Corner helps Catholics spiritually prepare for each Sunday's Mass starting midweek each week. You can listen at yourcatholiccorner.com. Today, we're uncovering the biblical gems hidden in the book of Acts of the Apostles, 1 John and John's Gospel. In Catholic speak, we're in the second Sunday of Easter in Year B. The format for today's show is question and answer with a listener question of the week. We'll look at the possible connections between the three Bible passages we're reading this upcoming Sunday's Mass so we can better understand why they might have been selected to be read together. We'll read those passages together and then I'll share my reflections on what I think God is saying to me and how I understood God's personal nudge to me. Remember that when two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, like we are now here with you and me, He is here with us. The Bible passages that we're reading from for this upcoming Sunday are Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, and John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. But before that, a quick word about Your Catholic Corner. Just in case this is your first time here, regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey, whether you've only just heard of that man called Jesus, you're new to Catholicism, or you're a cradle Catholic, my prayer is that Your Catholic Corner will help bring God's Word to life in your heart through insights, reflections, and practical applications that help deepen your relationship with God. Every Thursday, we'll start preparing for Mass by uncovering the richness hidden in each Sunday's Bible readings, from Old Testament prophecies to Gospel parables. I invite you to join me and the parishioners of the Cathedral of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Hamilton, New Zealand, sponsors of Your Catholic Corner, so that together we can hear God's Word and echo Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, let's get back to today's show. This week's listener question of the week is, what is Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, Divine Mercy Sunday is a special Catholic feast day celebrated on the Sunday after Easter, and it focuses on God's mercy and forgiveness, which is what you would expect with a name like Divine Mercy Sunday. It's one of those special days where the priest wears white vestments, and if vestment is a new word for you, then please check out the episode for the 18th of December 2023, where I answer that listener question of the week for you. I'll put a link to that episode also to make it easy in the show notes that we have today. In the year 2000, so 24 years ago, Pope John Paul II officially declared this first Sunday after Easter as Divine Mercy Sunday. Originally, the feast day started with Saint Faustina Kowalska, a Polish nun who had visions of Jesus. Her writings about her visions helped spread the devotion to God's divine mercy and led to the creation of the feast day. While mainly celebrated by Catholics, some other Christian denominations also celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, though not in the same formal way that we celebrate or recognize it. Some parishes participate in special devotionals, and I use that word generally, not theologically. For example, there is a special prayer called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's prayed at 3 p.m. on Divine Mercy Sunday because 3 p.m. was the time that Jesus was crucified. There's also the Divine Mercy image, and I'm sure you've seen it. That's the image where Jesus has rays of red and white coming from his heart. The red ray symbolizes the blood of Jesus, representing the sacraments of the church, particularly the sacrament of reconciliation, and the white ray symbolizes the water of baptism, representing purification and the forgiveness of sins. This image serves as a reminder for us to trust in him. Some Catholic parishes also have Divine Mercy Novena, which starts Good Friday. They have a 9-day novena, which is a special type of prayer which involves daily prayers and reflections that focus specifically on seeking God's mercy, offering prayers for the conversion of sinners, and trusting in God's love and forgiveness. So that's some background to what is Divine Mercy Sunday. Please remember that I'm only too happy to answer or attempt to answer any questions that you might have about becoming Catholic or why us Catholics do what we do. You can send me your questions at yourcatholiccorner.com/contact. This coming Sunday, or depending on when you're listening to this episode, the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, we are reading from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, and John's Gospel 20, verses 19 through 31. What is the connection between these particular Bible passages? What's the typology? Remember, typology is where what's referred to in the Old Testament is then represented in or repeated, talked about, referred to in the New Testament, and usually ties the first reading for us Catholics on Sundays to the Gospel reading. Let's have a look. Let's have a look firstly from a historical context perspective. We need to consider the historical context in which these passages were written. Acts 4 describes the early Christian community after the resurrection of Jesus. It highlights the unity and the generosity of believers who shared their possessions and cared for the needs of one another. In John 20, we have the recounting of the appearances of Jesus risen to his disciples. It includes the famous encounter between Jesus and Thomas, Doubting Thomas. That's how he gets his name, Doubting Thomas, or that's how that phraseology comes about. Because of today's reading, both passages reflect the early Christian experience of encountering the resurrected Jesus and the growth of the Christian community in the years following the events of Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection. Then we've got the theological interpretation. And this perspective, we have the passages emphasizing the importance of community, faith, the resurrection, and the forgiveness of sin. In Acts 4, the unity and the generosity of the early Christian community reflects the communal life that Jesus intended for his followers. That's us. Although it happened back then, that's still us today. It serves as a model for the church. It calls believers to live in solidarity with one another and to share their resources for the common good. And then in John's Gospel, we've got that faith is the key to experiencing the resurrection and encountering the risen Christ. Thomas's doubt, as I mentioned before, and his subsequent confession of faith. This is where he says, "My Lord and my God." They illustrate, so listen out for that, they illustrate the importance of belief in Jesus resurrected, Jesus risen. Both of these passages also highlight the forgiveness of sins. We've got Jesus breathing on the disciples, and that gives them the power to forgive, the power to forgive sins, as Jesus had the power to. And that also establishes the sacrament of reconciliation, or the sacrament of confession, however you know it. And we've talked a bit about that through Lent, the sacrament of reconciliation, and how it plays a central role in Catholic teachings and Catholic practices. It gives us Catholics the beautiful opportunity to receive God's mercy and forgiveness. We also have the relevance to Catholic teachings. Now, when we look at Catholic teachings and beliefs, the typology connecting the passages that we're looking at today reinforces our understanding of the Church as a community of believers, a community of faithful people who are called to unity and to be compassionate in our care for each other. It emphasizes the importance of faith, both in the resurrection of Jesus. Remember, we are in Easter, and Easter is the most special, the most important time in our belief as Christians, because this is where Jesus actually rises. You know, he's crucified at Easter on Good Friday, and then he rises again on Easter Sunday. So that's why Easter is the most important time for us Catholics, because it proves, it demonstrates, it's all about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And then we've got the role of in Catholic liturgy and in our devotional practices. We've got Acts 4 that gives us a reminder of the early Christian community's unity and generosity, where it inspires believers, and then, back then and today, for us to live out these virtues of generosity and belief and faith in our lives as well. And then we have the emphasis on the power of Jesus' mercy and forgiveness, specifically emphasized because we're celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, with all of that as the backdrop, let's pray together from these three Bible passages for Divine Mercy Sunday, in the second Sunday of Easter in Year B. First reading is from Acts of the Apostles. The whole group of believers was united, heart and soul. No one claimed for his own use anything that he had, as everything they owned was held in common. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great power, and they were all given great respect. None of their members was ever in want, as all those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money from them to present it to the apostles. It was then distributed to any members who might be in need. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of John. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been begotten by God, and whoever loves the Father that begot him loves the child whom he begets. We can be sure that we love God's children if we love God himself and do what he has commanded us. This is what loving God is, keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not difficult, because anyone who has been begotten by God has already overcome the world. This is the victory over the world, our faith. Who can overcome the world? Only the man who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came by water and blood. Not with water only, but with water and blood. With the Spirit as another witness, since the Spirit is the truth. A reading from John's Gospel. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, and he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands and can put my finger into the holes they made, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." 8 days later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he spoke to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look, here are my hands. Give me your hand, put it into my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen me and yet believe." There were many other signs that Jesus worked and the disciples saw, but they are not recorded in this book. They are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. The Gospel of the Lord. What was God saying to you? Remember that we each hear God differently depending on what's going on in our lives at the time. What God is saying to me might not be what God is saying to you. So what about you? What was God saying to you as you listened to his word? Let's kick off by having a look at some of the metaphors. The Bible passages today use symbolic language to convey spiritual truths. The account of the early Christians sharing possessions conveys community unity. The concept of being born of God symbolizes overcoming struggles through faith. And Jesus breathing on the disciples behind locked doors symbolizes Jesus imparting the Holy Spirit to guide them. These creative metaphors enrich the meaning of Christianity and its power to transform lives, our lives, your life, my life. Acts 4 shows the early Christians sharing everything in common, representing how their community was very unified and very supportive. It shows the ideal vision of believers caring for one another, of not being selfish. The obvious question that needs to be asked today, I think, is how generous, this is of me, is how generous am I with what I have? Do I share or do I hold everything in tight? Like I don't have enough. Like God doesn't bless me with enough. Is that what God is asking of you too, or something completely different? And then we have being born of God in 1 John 5. It symbolizes the transformative spiritual rebirth we experience when we become Christian, because we are Christian, just as physical birth marks a new phase of life. This metaphor signifies the adoption into God's family through our faith in Christ. Now, do I see myself as being part of God's wider family? Do you? When I attend Mass each week, do I consider myself part of the family of God who walks in through the parish doors? Do I connect with my fellow sisters and brothers who are also there at the same time? Or do I keep myself apart, separate, locked in, closed down, behind doors? What about you? How parish family oriented are you? The locked doors keeping the fearful disciples hidden from the outside world in John's Gospel could represent their lack of faith and separation before Christ's coming. But Jesus enters, and it doesn't actually say that. It says that the doors are closed, that they are locked, but somehow he enters and he brings them peace, metaphorically depicting the risen Christ's power to transform lives and overcome fear with comfort and then renewal. When Jesus then imparts the Holy Spirit by breathing on them, it parallels God's creation of Adam, alluding to the new spiritual life, an empowerment gifted through the Holy Spirit. And finally, Thomas's doubt and eventual confession after touching Jesus' wounds serves as a metaphor for the common human struggle to believe that you might have, that I certainly had, without physical proof. But it also gives us the chance to grow deeper in our faith by personally encountering the risen Jesus. Two things struck me with this gospel passage. How much do I lock myself away, as I mentioned earlier, spiritually? And how much do I need proof before I believe? How much more proof do I need? The requirement for proof with me ebbs and flows. I think what I'm hearing God tell me here is that I need to have greater faith, more trust, less of the requirement for proof. Because this is one of the mysteries of faith, isn't it? When it comes to being locked away, that struck me, but not as much as a requirement for evidence or for proof. I like to think that I don't hide my faith away too much. I'm open to talking about it, and I do look for opportunities to talk about my faith. And having this podcast, I like to think that I'm open and I help spread God's word. So what about you? Are you locked away? Do you need more proof? Do you need more evidence? What's God saying to you? I hope you found all this interesting and helpful. I hope that this podcast helps you prepare and maybe even understand just a teeny tiny, incy wincy dinky little bit better the wonderful world of God and the Word of God and the Catholic faith. Thank you for spending the last half an hour or so of your life with God and me. I pray that each of these Bible passages has been able to make the difference that God wishes for you today and tomorrow in their own way in your life. Thank you for getting this far. Can I ask you to do me and God a huge favor, please? If you enjoyed today's show, can you please help spread God's word about your Catholic corner? All you have to do is tell three of your friends or family about this podcast so they can hopefully benefit as well. Letting them know about it is really easy. Just invite them to visit yourcatholiccorner.com where they can subscribe and follow the show from there. It's easy. It doesn't cost anything. Thank you very much. Wherever you are right now listening to this, I pray that God's glass of love overflows in your heart and your life, and that when you're ready, you're able to accept God's invitation to you to join Him to share in Holy Communion at your local parish. And finally, I'd like to say thank you to the parishioners of the Cathedral of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Hamilton in New Zealand, who helped me bring this podcast to you today. This is Julie South signing off until next week. May you have a blessed Easter. Peace be with you. God bless.